Welcome to the Pre-Post Film Review. I'm John Asquith.
And I'm Matt Stevenson. So this episode, we're doing a little bonus podcast for you guys. We're going to be chatting about the David Lynch film Eraserhead. So we haven't done a trailer impressions section this episode. We're just going to jump straight into a full review. So it's going to be chock full of spoilers. So if you haven't seen Eraserhead, stop the podcast, go watch it, then come back and finish the episode because we're going to spoil it right from the get-go. So having said that, John, I'm very curious, given that this was the first time you've seen Eraserhead and one of the few Lynch films that you have seen, what you thought and what you thought of it compared to Blue Velvet, the previous bonus ep we did on Lynch.
Yeah, I'm really glad that we're doing this little retrospective catching John up on his cinema history.
Yeah.
Because I really like Twin Peaks, the old season, and what I've seen of the new one, really, really like. And so it was great to go back and watch Blue Velvet, which I also really, really enjoyed, and sort of solidified for me that I would be able to call myself a Lynch fan, I think, now, and say that I really, really enjoy his work. But then, so going back to Eraserhead was a bit of an unknown for me. I think Blue Velvet, as we talked about, is similar to Twin Peaks in in lots of ways. But knowing what I did about Eraserhead, that it was much more kind of surreal and abstract, and didn't have a lot of plot to it, I wasn't sure whether it would be perhaps too loose for me, too abstract. And somehow I'd really avoided knowing a lot about it, spoilers or key imagery or anything like that. It didn't really get covered in my uni course or anything like that. So I'd always managed to kind of steer clear of it, not on purpose, but just, you know, by chance, by luck. So putting this on, I was, I didn't really know what to expect, really how I would react to it. There's a chance with these sorts of movies that you get frustrated and almost angry watching them. But I'm happy to say that I fucking loved this movie so much. This was just incredible for me. I was so happy that I watched this. I had a long day at work. I put it on like late at night, which actually is the perfect time to watch this movie because I was tired and it was late. So I was already in like a weird state of mind. And it just blew me away. The filmmaking is so strong for a debut feature. I just couldn't believe how confident it was. And particularly with this style of filmmaking, this surreal, barely any plot, abstract filmmaking. It's so hard to get right because it can, as I said before, it can frustrate you and it can come off as pretentious. And I know Lynch always has critics of that ilk who say that his work isn't that good. It's just pretentious and being, artistic for the sake of it. And I could see how you could apply that to Eraserhead, but that didn't happen to me. I was in from like the first 5 seconds where you got this head floating in space basically. and then a man like inside the moon or inside a planet or something like that. It just took me to another place, which is exactly what it's trying to do. This weird nightmarish industrial dreamscape. And I loved being in this creepy world with these bizarre characters and huge metaphors for life and becoming an adult, maybe is what it's about, or dealing with pressures of growing up, or I guess it's kind of open, very open to interpretation. But yeah, I never got sick of being there. Because it keeps, I mean, the last act is mainly just in the bedroom, but before that, it keeps sort of introducing new strange things. So you start off in space and you've got the lead character like walking home through the factory, which is just so odd. Then he gets to his apartment and there's like twigs and dirt everywhere. And then he goes to that crazy dinner with his girlfriend. And then they have the kid, and it's just, you can never predict where it's going. I guess cause there's not really much of a plot, but I just found every scene was presenting something new and exciting. And my brain was just like, it was like a feast. Like I was just absorbing it all and, thoroughly enjoying the experience. And I just think it's so, so impressive for a first feature. And then on top of that, to be something that's quite artistic is just really cool. The other thing, I was thinking is that it hasn't aged much. It really feels like something that you would see at a festival now. I think it was made in the late 70s. I want to say 77 or something like that.
I think it's 77. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, the same year Star Wars came out. How's that for a double feature? it feels very modern, and the effects too, I think, you know, particularly the little creepy baby amazing thing. It looks really good still. It doesn't, there was nothing off about it, except for what was intentionally off about it. that's something I wasn't expecting. Was I didn't know it had this kind of effects work in it, and it stands up really well. So I don't know. I hope that wasn't too rambling. I've been waiting to just express my love for it. But yeah, I'm curious what your thoughts are, Matt, because we haven't really talked about it before. So I don't know
what you think. Yeah, I'm so glad that you loved it, because I think this is one of the harder Lynch films to connect with. And it can either sort of sweep you up and you love all that nightmarish weirdness, or it's too much and it's just off-putting or too off-putting.
Yeah.
So I was hoping you'd be on this side of the fence. So I'm glad you connected with it as strongly as you did. I've seen it a few times. I saw it in uni, and I think I've seen it, you know, two or three times since then on DVD and Blu-ray and things. So perhaps it's lost a bit of its kind of initial wow factor for me. So I don't think I love it as much as you do. I think it's really, really awesome, but I do think it does have a little bit of a sort of student-y first film feel to it, and it does sort of sway a little bit in the art school pretentious side of things for me. But I think that's a little bit to do with taste as well. Like, I prefer his stuff a bit more towards the Blue Velvet side of things, where there's a bit of a through line where the creepiness is kind of, like, encroaching in, whereas this is literally just, like, a fucking fever dream. You know, like there's basically no logic to it, which is, in a way, to its credit. Like, I love it. It evokes that dreamy, nightmarish sense so perfectly. I mean, I think we talked about that in his ability to do that in Blue Velvet. It's much more subtle in Blue Velvet. But even here, like, I can't think of another film that deals with abstract imagery like this that feels so coherently dreamlike, if that makes sense. They're almost like opposites, but there's a way he can combine them that makes it absolutely feel like it works.
Yes.
So even if it skews a little bit pretentious, I don't think it's not too bad as to overwhelm my enjoyment of the film, because I really, really like this film. And yeah, like you said, there was certain imagery that I could remember from previous viewings, but I'd forgotten how, like, amazing that little freaky bloody baby thing looked like. It is horrific. And the way its little eyes move, and like the constant screechy, wheezy, like, noises that it's making.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess that would probably be the only other criticism I have, that sort of towards the middle, when they do get stuck in that bedroom for a little bit, it feels very enclosed and claustrophobic, which is intentional, but it was also a little bit, The opening half is so varied. Like you said, you go into lots of different places. Yeah. Also, just like so fucking weird. Like the dinner with the parents when the mum's just like having some weird panting seizure as the like little baby chicken vomits blood out of its orifices. Yeah. Like it's just nuts. Like utterly nuts. But in a great way, unpredictable way. But when you get to the second half, when it's almost all confined to that bedroom, like it still does have amazing imagery, but there's not as much of it. It's quite similar.
It does slow down a bit, yeah.
Yeah, and I think a lot of, like I said, a lot of that's intentional. It's meant to be this sort of like, you know, cranking up the tension as the like pressure of this having this weird infant being thrust into this situation is like bubbling over for him as well. So you're sort of going through it with him as a viewer. But it was perhaps just, again, like a taste thing, not necessarily a pleasant experience. I wish there was like a break from that somewhere or something a little bit. And I think also perhaps one thing I remembered really liking, and Stu still did really like this viewing, was the weird, like, creepy miniature stage behind the, like, heater on the wall.
Yeah.
But in my mind, it only went there once, but when rewatching it, like, they go there, like, I think it's at least three times, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I liked each of those, but I wish there was perhaps something different that he did with some of that surreal imagery, because it was kind of went back to old puffy cheeks. Even though that was amazing and creepy, and the way she, like, squashed all those weird, like, baby fetus things.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know how to describe this film. It's just so bloody weird.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's interesting, though, like, as I said, not knowing anything going into it, I was surprised by how much of it, of that I could make sense of it. As in, there's a guy who has a girlfriend,
right?
And she has parents, and he lives in an apartment. Like, I thought it was potentially going to be more like a music video or something, like really kind of avant-garde.
Abstract,
like weird images. Sounds and that kind of thing. So.
Interesting.
That was actually, I don't want to say like a pleasant surprise, but that I think that helped me, that helped, you know, because you are just following the lead character as he goes through this kind of bizarre, hellish nightmare. So I think that does give you something to anchor onto amongst the weirdness. Not that he acts normal, but he's relatively
kind of normal. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a very good point. I think that's how it manages to dodge the really falling into that pretentious
art, yes, exactly.
School,
yeah,
you know, final film project that you do at the end of film school, where it's just like abstract shit because it's like some
for the sake of
deep
it.
Meaning that it has in the exactly. back of your mind.
Yeah, and we both saw a lot of that stuff when we're at exactly. uni. And so you can spot it from a mile away, which is why I think this is so impressive that it doesn't do that.
No, that's a very good point. I think that I've never sort of, or at least this viewing, didn't look at it from that angle. I was looking at it from almost the other angle, like from the Twin Peaks angle, and seeing it having so much less narrative or through line. But you're very right, looking at it from the other way. It does have a fair amount. And I think that's probably what I was trying to articulate when I was saying that it has a coherence to its dreaminess. Like, I think that it just has enough of a little thread through it. Like you said, it's just, I mean, it's basically just like a couple of things happen. He goes to dinner and then he finds out he has a weird dinosaur baby, but that's enough to like, at least it's got that, you know what I mean? Otherwise it would just be sheer craziness, even though there are some moments of sheer craziness, like when his head pops off and then it gets.
Well, that's where it gets, yeah. Oh yeah, see I forgot about that. Like when I realized why the movie was called called Eraserhead.
Yeah.
I was just like, I was not expecting it to literally be this.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I don't know whether I liked that or not. And again, I had a memory of it almost like ending with that, and it was kind of like almost like a joke of the title. I was like, "Oh, that's a bit
it does, yeah. It does feel like a strange detour for the movie. It's like because we're already in this kind of dream, and then he has a dream or something.
Yeah,
you know, and so you go off on this like, and it is. It's all very tongue in cheek. You know, it's quite darkly funny. That I really enjoyed that experience, but it did feel kind of yeah, separate from the rest of the movie, and maybe not in the in a cohesive kind of what good way.
Mm, I was surprised as well that like how funny it was, and like particularly the start where he's sort of walking around from work or through the factories or whatever to go to his house, and it almost felt like Chaplin-esque, like it was a silent comedy where he like stands in the water and his shoe gets, I mean it's not like bumbling and played for big laughs, but there was like a touch of that kind of silent era comedy.
I agree, I had the exact same thought actually, and because there's no dialogue at that point or anything, and feels very much like a silent film. I'm sure the black and white kind of helps with that as well, and he's sort of slipping around and has this like comically confused look on his face for half the movie.
Yeah, but I was going to say, he basically has just one expression with his eyebrows kind of like really like frowning in or whatever. I still just can't get over that little dinosaur baby and the final moments when he cuts it
open. I was just like, my face was scrunched up watching that, you know what I mean? I was like, mouth open, kind of like eyes squinted.
When he starts like cutting the organs or whatever, like he has a little stab at the guts. I genuinely felt ill.
Yeah, it does. It makes you feel sick. Like, because you know there's nothing good under those bandages as well. But I wasn't expecting there to be like no, it's like the bandages were keeping it together.
Yeah.
Like, all its organs in. It's just like, that's such a disgusting, gross image and thought. And then it does become that sort of dreamlike, it's like lizard brain almost. Like, it's like, I don't know, this is a weird example, but like popping a pimple or, you know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, here's kind of a gross thing that lots that you not want to do, but you know what I mean? Like, he's like looking at these organs and he's got a sharp object and it's like, oh, you know that he's going to pop
it. Yeah, something you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then, you know, all hell, perhaps literally, you know, breaks through.
But there's also something like deeply disturbing about the fact that it's a baby. I mean, it's a weird deformed baby, but it's the way it kind of cries and like coughs up all that like blood all over its face. Mm. It's just like very upsetting, even
it is.
As bizarre and surreal as the whole situation is.
Because it's still a young thing.
Very confronting.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's young and helpless. And up until that point, we're sort of relying on them to keep it alive. It's just, so strange. And then a bunch of kind of cream cheese comes out of it and it grows really huge.
That's right. The head sort of just like flashes around the apartment.
Yeah.
It's very
which was
nightmarish.
Really cool image.
Yeah.
And then he ends up in a white space with the cheek lady.
One from the stage.
Yeah.
And it kind of just blooms out into a white screen, I think.
Yeah. And at some point in there too, you see the planet guy, like he can't control his gears anymore.
Oh, that's right. It's all like sparking and going nuts.
Yeah. Because he was theoretically, I mean, we could go into this.
Well, I mean, I was genuinely going to ask, do you think that there is any logic, or okay, logic's the wrong word, but any like message other than like, I guess what you kind of said, there's obvious readings of fear of like parenthood or responsibility, which sort of comes into the second act, which is literally sort of what he's faced with. But do you think some of the more abstract stuff, or there's a bigger idea running through the film? Because I struggled with that a little bit, and I think that was...
Yeah. I don't know. Aside from that stuff that I guess is more obvious, the parenting / responsibility side of things, which I don't know Lynch's age when he made this, but he would have probably been in his 30s or something like that. Or he would have been fairly young. He would have been at the age where that is something that you're thinking about.
It's a very good point. Yeah.
Seriously. So I can see that side being quite an honest theme that he wanted in there. But then on top of that, I do think it's just his imagination. Take that theme and put it inside this nightmare. I'm not sure that the man with the gears is really meant to be anything.
Yeah, like I had, I did have a thought watching it that everything seemed to sort of be about Henry's lack of control. Every aspect of his life, basically. I mean, that ties very closely into the childhood stuff at the end. But, you know, he's kind of has this baby thrust upon him. He's, like, forced by the parents to, like, marry what's-her-face. He's sort of, like, forced by the girlfriend to come round for dinner, forced by the dad to cut the chicken. Like, he never has any agency ever. Even, like, I don't think you could even read the crusty boy in the moon as kind of, like, controlling everything. Like, he's even being controlled at a higher level, you know, by... It's kind of like this god figure kind of moving the levers and controlling the world or whatever's going on there. I don't know if that there's anything more meaningful than that, but that seems to be like at least a running theme throughout the film. But that would, I guess, make sense tying it back to what you said about him being at that age where you are thrust into these situations of responsibility or something, or, you know, you're expected to do things or act in a certain way that, you know, are outside of your control, given the place you are in your life, perhaps.
Yeah, that's right. And that's interesting. There's two potential areas where he does take control. One, the most obvious being the end, where he's like,
stabs the shit out of it.
Cut you open.
Yeah,
and, true. And that, you know, is that screws up the gears and from, you know, the all-powerful one. And then there's potentially also where he cheats, quote unquote, cheats with the neighbor, and things go. I think the Eraserhead sequence starts soon after that. his head pops off. Yeah, exactly.
when he cheats? Is that when we get a shot of him seeing the guy pulling the levers? Isn't there a moment where they're like?
I'm sure in there
the
same is.
Space, or is that at the end after he stabs the baby? I can't remember.
No, I'm sure there was one. I remember at some point during the movie, because it was outside the window, sort of. There's this light that keeps going, almost like an elevator up and down or something. And at one point, it comes down, and it almost looks like Henry is sitting where the gears are, or there's something weird like that. I can't precisely remember, but they do cross paths at one point. And this is just another thing I've just remembered that I really loved was when he was making out with the neighbor. Firstly, she like looks over at the baby and her eyes just like bulge and she's like, oh my God, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
But then there's that just incredible shot of them sinking into the bed, liquid.
Like the milk bath.
Just amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was such a striking, weird, creepy image. And for so long, her hair is just kind of like bobbing there. Which even just like on a technical level, how they filmed that is so impressive, you know, for this low budget kind of movie. It's amazing.
Definitely. Oh, there's a lot of that stuff. And like we've said a few times, just the practical effects, obviously, specifically the baby. But then there's also little things like the way they like superimpose the image of the sort of weird thing coming out of his mouth at the beginning. I mean, it's a very obvious effect, but the fact that they're both practical and it's not, I mean, obviously it was before the time of CGI and things, but there's something tangible and cool about that kind of old school special effect that you don't see anymore that I really liked.
Yeah. And it was very interesting, you know, without going into too much, there's stuff in this that certain imagery, I would say, repeats in the new Twin Peaks.
Oh, interesting.
So it almost feels like coming full circle at that, because, you know, Lynch is in his 70s now, maybe late 60s. He's getting a bit old. And so, yeah, there's a particular sequence in one of the new episodes that... that I had just watched before watching Eraserhead, and I could see a lot of connections. So that was interesting.
He does, like, you can see the sort of seeds of some of his recurring images throughout his films, particularly that he has sort of like an obsession with stages and like performance. Like, even in Blue Velvet, you know, when they go to Frank's apartment and there's that weird scene where they're, like, singing and there's sort of this kind of, like, this theatrical nature to certain things.
Absolutely.
And that pops up in other Lynch films that we haven't chatted about on the podcast yet, but it's interesting to see them, you know, present all the way back from the first thing that he did.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely... he's not one of these filmmakers where you have to really, really search for their sort of what's the word I'm looking for? Signature, like their signature themes. Like, they're always pretty obvious, really. He's been obsessed with the same things, it seems, since day one.
Yeah.
You know, this weird sexual stuff with him cheating on the neighbor and with the neighbor and the performance and also there's sort of always a 1950s-esque feel to a lot of what he has. So even that the cheek girl, it kind of has this 1950s permed hair and outfit and stuff like that. Seems to be an aesthetic that he really likes.
Definitely.
So probably because... Oh, sorry.
No, go.
Oh, I was just going to say, probably because it is, in terms of pop culture, that's a very wholesome look, that 1950s look.
Yeah.
And then he normally puts it in a bizarre or creepy setting.
And there's some, like, that sort of accentuates the creepiness, usually, like, juxtaposing it with those images of 1950s purity. So, do you like this more than Blue Velvet? Like, how did they, given that they're the two we've done on the podcast, in which order would you rank them?
It's hard to say. I actually want to say Eraserhead at the moment, because I'm still a bit high on it. I watched it last week. Over time, I'm not sure, and I want to see them both again. And I think, I definitely think there is probably something to what you were saying earlier about rewatching Eraserhead. It might lose some of its initial shock value because it's that first experience is like such a roller coaster ride of just bizarreness.
Yeah.
That's, perhaps, yeah, on repeat viewings, Blue Velvet would stand up more because there is more to it, really. There's more to latch onto and think about. I don't know. What would you... Do you have a preference between those two that we have talked about?
I would put Blue Velvet above this, but I love them both. I just think it's pretty much exactly what you said. I think there's just a bit more to it. And it's like I said earlier, I think it's also a bit of a taste thing. Like, I just really enjoy his films when he juxtaposes the two things, so the sort of normality of everyday life with the creepy dream stuff in the fringes and seeping into it. I there's something about that that really appeals to me. All right, so both pretty big thumbs up.
Yeah, totally. Ahead.
If you haven't seen it, check it out for sure. Especially if you're watching the new Twin Peaks, I guess. Go back to see, you know, how Lynch's career started.
How it all began.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to continue our little Lynch retrospective series of bonus episodes if we can. So the next one we're going to try and do is Mulholland Drive, I think, John. I think that'd be a good one to chat about.
Yeah, yep. Very excited to see that and continue this discussion.